Hello, everybody. How's it going? This is Brandon here. Before we get into today's episode, I wanted to let you know that Coach Dan and I recorded this episode on Monday, December 20th, before a lot of the news broke about what the NHL's plans were for postponing games or taking a pause of the season. So I think Coach Dan and I had a really good discussion, so I didn't want to just throw away the episode. But I do want to let you know I tried to cut out some of the things that really didn't matter at this point because of how much things have changed in 24 hours. So I'm recording this intro on Tuesday the 21st. Right now, the Capitals were supposed to go up against the Flyers tonight. That game has been postponed due to the Omicron variant of COVID-19. Justin Schultz and Daniel Sprong both were pulled from morning skate after they their test came back. I think they're getting retested now as well to see if it was a false positive or if they actually are positive for COVID-19. The Capitals game against the Islanders on the 23rd has also been postponed. The league has decided to pause the season through the winter break, so hopefully we will have some NHL hockey back on December 26th. But right now, everything's kind of up in the air. We don't know when the Caps will play again at this point in time. But Coach Dan and I did talk about the team as it stands right now, what it means having these lines constantly changing. And I think you guys will really enjoy the show. So thank you all for listening to What the Puck each and every episode. We really do appreciate it. Here is the newest episode of What the Puck.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to What the Puck!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your Hershey Bears. Yeah, that's right. We we're all moving to Pennsylvania, everybody. Hershey's coming here and they're bringing chocolate. You know what? Not a bad deal.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, that's not a bad deal. Here we are, the Capitals or the Hershey Bears, depending on which way you want to look at it. They've been playing the hockey as 2021 comes to a close. It's been a little nuts here in the NHL. Things are going crazy. But joining me as always to talk all about the COVID craziness that is happening right now. Coach Dan, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's Christmas week. We got lots to talk about. The Capitals went 1-1-1 since we talked last, which, hey, what a record there, 1-1-1. But I think the big news here is that the Caps, they got Nick Backstrom back, came back for a game. Everyone was excited. And then he got added to the COVID list, and so did a whole bunch of other players, which means that we are asking the Hershey Bears to supply us with even more players. But the fact that we have such a depleted lineup to go 1-1-1, I mean, that's not the worst thing in the world. At least there's one win in there. But this team's working hard, but this is not the team. Again, we said this last week. This is not the team I don't think any of us saw at the beginning of the season playing right now.
No, and I don't know if we're ever going to see that team that we intended on seeing. I don't think we're ever going to see a full lineup, at least not for the next couple of weeks, if not longer than that. And that's just a reality of the virus. And, I mean, that happens throughout a season in terms of injuries. You're going to have players that get hurt. You know, we have Wilson on the IR as of right now. We've got Mantha on. He got moved to long-term injury reserve when Backstrom came back. So we've got players that are out. That's just a reality. That's what's going to happen. But in this new era of COVID, it makes things even more tricky, and it's harder and harder for teams to have that full lineup, which puts more of an emphasis on drafting well and signing depth players, both currently that are going to be playing on your team and players that will be up in the press box, and then players that will be in your minor leagues and having them readily available to come up. And the Caps have done really well with that, you know, credit to their to their general manager, credit to their scouts. I think McClellan's done a great job because you looked at it this season. The Caps have had 9 different rookies register a point this season.
Wow.
That's crazy in the sense that they've needed 9 different rookies, but that also each one of them has contributed in some way, shape, or another. You know, it's Snively, local boy. I'm sure we'll talk about him shortly.
Yeah.
He got an assist on McMichael's goal in the loss to Chicago. But it's another person that's contributing when other players are out. And that's what this team needs. Leeson came up, he scored. And I think at the Winnipeg game. And so that's what you need. You need depth. You need your depth to be contributing. And that's what the Caps are getting right now. And it's interesting. You brought this up last week in terms of having your like minor league team close.
Right.
That's no more important, I feel like, than it has been this season.
Yeah.
Because they've needed their young players readily available and quickly. I mean, we saw a situation where the other night where Scarbosa tested, it ended up being a false positive, but he tested positive the day of the game. And so, you know, the Caps right now, I mean, they sent, who did they send down? Leeson and Beck Mallinson. They sent both those guys down. So they've currently only got 11 forwards.
I'm a little bummed Beck Mallinson got sent down because I liked what I've seen from him.
It almost to me feels like they're kind of rotating guys through.
Yeah. It's got to be like money moves as well, because there's only certain players that can go through. Like, and with there being such like a high turnover rate between the Caps and the Bears, you got to think like, I mean, I know there's no crystal ball for the NHL or any of these sports leagues that are going through these COVID woes right now, but like, why didn't we keep the taxi squad for this season?
I was just wondering that in the game the other night, and I kind of wonder, are they going to bring it back?
I feel like I know things were looking really good and things were looking up over, I guess, the spring and the summer, but did nobody see this coming back? Like, it's winter. We're all stuck indoors. The holidays are happening. People are getting COVID fatigue. Nobody wants to talk about this anymore or deal with this, but COVID's like, hey, I'm here to stay, guys. I suck, but I'm here. I feel like, I don't know. I feel like there just was like some short-sightedness on how we're going to do this. Like, there was such this rah-rah, we're going back to normal. Well, I mean, this is the new normal. The taxi squad, I feel like, would have been really smart to have right now, and I think they're maybe kicking themselves for not having that be a part of the season this year.
But I wonder if they can bring it back. Like, can you bring back the taxi squad? Can you allow it to be a part of the reality of the NHL? And there's probably, you know, it'd have to be an agreement between the NHL and the NHL Players Association. But I feel like expanding the roster size a little bit, even if it's like one or two players, is not necessarily the worst thing. But you're looking at, I mean, teams are having multiple people test positive throughout a day. And so you have to have depth, and you need to have that depth ready to play, because this thing's getting crazy. And, you know, at some point it's going to plateau and it's going to go down again, and it's going to be more back to what we were seeing at the beginning of the season. And, you know, that happened with Delta, and we had that the virus overall, and it's going to happen with Omicron. But for now, you need to have teams that are, teams need to be ready to deal with these situations. And I think the Capitals themselves have done incredibly well with it. When you look at where they are in the standings, they're tied for the top in the Metro, and they're tied, or one of the best teams in the NHL right now, even if their power play is still garbage.
Really bad.
That they've done really well, and credit to Peter Laviolette and being able to continually come out and get wins. And this is with a lineup that is constantly changing. And I saw, I think Tarik El-Bashir tweeted it out, but Schultz came out and said, I keep wanting to say Jeff Schultz, even though that's not his name.
Yeah.
Schultz came out and he said, you know, the constantly changing lineup's becoming a distraction. You never know going into a game who's going to actually be there and be the players on the ice each game. But the players have handled it really well. And, you know, you're seeing that lineups are getting jumbled around. I can't remember who tweeted it out before the game against Chicago. But when I think it was Samantha Pell, when she had tweeted out sort of the lineup, it looked like a preseason game. Because you kind of just had random players playing with each other. And like, oh, they're just giving some of the young guys an opportunity. Like, that's what it looked like. Like, I saw that lineup and I was like, yeah, that looks like a lineup I would see in September.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the case. I mean, this was an NHL team, and it's the reality is they probably should have won that game against Chicago. They didn't because there's a lot of different reasons. They gave up the PK, which ended up costing them, yada, yada, yada. They should have done better than they did. But this is still a team that is doing well and will continue, at least hopefully, will continue to do well because they're, for the most part, well-coached, except for the power play. And they're getting contribution from everyone throughout the lineup.
Yeah, that's the important thing. And like you said, like for them to be as high up in the rankings as they are, it really says a lot about, you know, Alex Ovechkin as the captain and Peter Laviolette as the head coach. Things are working. Things are clicking. Is this going to be a recipe for success come April, May in the playoffs? I mean, I don't know. I doubt it. How do you do that? But like Schultz said, you want to have a rhythm. That was the thing. It was always about finding the pairings that work and who works best. I mean, what was it a couple years ago? The HBK line in Pittsburgh? It was like the third line that everybody was talking about how well these guys work together. And that's what helped them win a Stanley Cup or get far. I can't remember what year that was. But it's crazy to see that. And if these guys can't get that, those line combinations down and they can't figure out how to work well with one specific player and get paired with them, it's going to be difficult to have success, long-term success, if they are getting just the lines just getting jumbled up every other game. And we saw that a lot with Todd Ritter would move things around all the time. And that was always something we didn't like because it was just like, all right, something's working. Now we're just going to mess it up for messing it up sake. Now it's like you have to mess things up because you don't know who's going to be in the lineup, what day. And you could go from, you know, Nick Backstrom all-star to guy from Virginia who is showing good talent but has never played in the NHL before.
Yeah. And credit to Snively, got an assist.
Yeah, doing now good.
First, I want to say first player born in Virginia. No, that probably isn't right. There's a stat I saw but about Snively, but I can't. It might be for the Caps. First player from born in Virginia to play for the Caps. That scored a point, but this might could be wrong as well.
And you got to think, a guy like him, he's got to be a trendsetter right now. Just due to the fact that Alex Ovechkin has been with the Capitals for so long, he has to have inspired kids around the D.C. metro area with his play that maybe weren't thinking about going into hockey. And he's just this Joe Snively is just the first one to grow up watching Alex Ovechkin. And now he's inspiring people locally to play hockey and eventually get into the NHL. We saw that with Austin Matthews. If it wasn't for the Coyotes being in Arizona, he probably would have never watched hockey. You know, Alex Ovechkin's definitely, he's got to get some sort of credit of inspiring the local generation here to pick up a stick.
Oh, the Ovechkin effect is real. Ovechkin, Backstrom, Alexander Salmon, Mike Green, you know, those guys during the Young Guns era, that effect it had on the DMV in terms of making hockey a bigger thing than it was, especially coming out of the fire sale from a few years prior.
Right.
And just completely rebuilding the team around Ovechkin and to an extent Backstrom once he was drafted and they had a plan for him. But it's real. It got people more interested. Winning gets people more interested in teams and in sports. You know, you go and you look at statistics, you look at the Caps standings. Attendance numbers. You go and look at Pittsburgh. Everyone talks about Pittsburgh is a great hockey town. Yeah, sure it is. But I've been to games before, or I had gone to a few games before Sidney Crosby was in town, and it was not highly attended. I went and I got tickets for the lower bowl for $10 because right. I stood outside Mellon Arena with a friend of mine because he was a Penguins fan, and we got tickets. You know, you could do the same thing for Caps. I remember the Eagles Nest tickets. They were $10. I remember when Capital One was empty, and you could sneak down and actually sit in the lower bowl as long as you didn't get caught. You know,
that's rule breaker.
I was young and silly. No, I, you know, you could get away with it, but winning breeds people wanting to spend money on things. And when you have ticket prices that are astronomically high, you know, you're not going to spend a lot of money on a losing product unless you're a diehard fan. And I think you're going to see that almost anywhere in the country. You know, this is not European football where it's the number one sport in your country, in your area. You know, you'll get that with Toronto. You'll get that with Montreal. the Canadian teams, you know, you'll have your arenas that are pretty full, I would imagine, even if you're not very good. But in this area, you know, at least in the DMV, I guess I would say football's number one. What do you think, baseball or basketball's number two? And then there's hockey.
In the DMV
area. At least
area,
before the Ovechkin, the Young Guns effect.
Sure. I think nowadays...
Hockey's a much bigger thing now.
I think nowadays in the Washington area, looking at the Washington teams, you're probably Caps first. Actually, no, you're probably Nationals first, Caps second. The Washington football team, I mean, yes, it's... still
I'm
has fans.
Like Baltimore in this as well, and I mean general sports overall,
yeah.
not specific teams, but the sport themselves. I think football is a bigger football, probably baseball and basketball right up there together than hockey. Hockey was for if you're you know hockey was further down, but the Ovechkin effect is legitimate. It's real when you have this not only world star, but someone who is so out there and outgoing. It brings people in that weren't necessarily paying attention to hockey, or they're paying attention. To an extent, but then you have this guy that's so entertaining on and off the ice, it's hard to look away. And then you start to pay attention, and then winning breeds fans. Winning breeds people coming into wanting to spend money. And you get more people coming in, and you have people more want to go out and play, and they need to go find ice time and rink time, which is hard to find in our area. But Ovechkin's effect that he's had on hockey in the DMV has been massive. And a guy like Joe Snively, he didn't make the NHL because of Ovechkin, but that helped. And I imagine you're going to have more and more people that are going to make it into the ECHL, AHL, or NHL who are from the district, from Maryland, or from Virginia, because they grew up watching Ovechkin. I mean, you were talking about Austin Matthews. He was a big fan of Ovechkin growing up. You know, he was out in Arizona. But players like that, this all goes back to the Tortorella thing, but like players that can do these crazy plays, it makes people want to watch and pay attention. And when you have someone like Tortorella who's like, well, I don't like it. It's not good for the game that he did something interesting. Like, no, sitting there and being quiet and not showing your personality, that's the problem. That's not how you get people to come and watch. That's how you remain a sport that not as many people watch as they should be.
I would put in probably even before hockey, at least in the Maryland area, is lacrosse. Lacrosse, I think, is pretty popular.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Maryland, yeah.
Especially in Maryland. But yeah, I think we are going to see more influx of talent in the Maryland, D.C., Virginia area. Throw in Delaware even for that one, because I think Ovechkin just has so many people interested, and I think kids picked up a stick because of him, and I think we're going to see more talent hopefully at the NHL level because of him for that. But it's congratulations to Snively for his first career start in the NHL. His family was there, which was really awesome. But ninth Caps rookie to register a point this season. I think that's, they said during the game against LA, was that tied San Jose for most this year. I want to say it's some stat like that it's nine rookies. That's tying the amount of rookies I think San Jose also has this year. It's the most in the NHL. So, I mean, it's again, the line combinations just going up and down, and it's just crazy.
Normally before a game, you're like, all right, this is pretty confident. I know what the lines are going to be. Now you go into a game going, all right, no idea. Let's see what happens.
We're just going to pull this out of a hat and see how it goes.
You got a little wheel you're spinning and be like, all right, Ovechkin's going to play with. And all the players' names are on it. You spin the wheel and see who he's going to line up with.
Luckily, Scarbosa, he had a false positive, so he is off the COVID list. He only missed the one game against LA, unfortunately.
Being on the list does not mean you have the virus. It means
you were close contact.
Have it or a close contact with someone. So it could be a line mate tested positive.
Sure.
And that puts you on there. Your kid, your significant other, you know, someone that you were around, a coach, whatever the case may be, could have tested positive, and that is then causes you to be on that list. I mean, they're without a ton of players right now. And like I said, credit to Laviolette for, you know, they're still pulling out wins with nobody in the lineup besides Ovechkin. That's not fair. There are other players that are recognizable, but you're getting contributions. It's not even that they have players that are coming in and like are playing well, but they're getting contributions. They're getting goal scoring. They're getting assists from guys who probably would spend most of the season in Hershey in a normal time. So that, I mean, it's a good sign not only for now, but for the future, because you have players that can come up and can produce in the NHL. And, you know, it doesn't seem like any of these guys are necessarily first-line talent that we could see at this moment. Like, you know, obviously things can change. But there is talent there. And so if you're Brian McClellan, are you looking at going into the offseason going, maybe I move out one or two guys and bring in, you know, give these roster spots to some of these younger players. They're going to be cheaper. It saves me some cap space. So if I need to go out and acquire a first line winger or a second line winger or center or whatever the case may be, I can do that now because I've saved money by moving out someone like a Carl Hagelin or, I don't know, someone else that's more expensive that isn't really producing as much at the moment. Like it really depends. But the fact is you have young guys that are coming up and they're producing when you need it the most because other guys are injured or sick or whatever, or potentially sick or close contact.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that we have always said, you need as a Stanley Cup champion team is that you need secondary scoring. You need four lines to roll. You got to be able to roll four lines deep. It can't just be Oshie or Wilson or Ovechkin or Backstrom or Kuzi or anybody Eller scoring all the goals. It's got to be somebody on all four lines doing all that. The bottom six last year was non-existent. So, we need those big-bodied players. And I think it's kind of good. And I think that's also something with these young Hershey guys coming up. There's not a lot of tape on them. There's not a lot of footage. So a lot of teams can prepare for Ovechkin and Oshie and that talent and know what they are tend to do. This Hershey team, you know, these guys are brand new. You know, they can break out some tricks. They can do some things because people don't know what to expect from them.
Nah, you do too many tricks and John Tortorella gets mad at you and talks negative things about you on TV.
Boo. Don't like it. You're being too fancy.
You're ruining the game. No, but, you know, I think we've always talked about this team needs depth, and I think over the last few years we always had sort of that journeyman NHLer that was playing in Hershey that would come up and play, and now we're seeing ice time being given to young players that may be able to contribute not only this season but, you know, over the next however many years in the NHL, ideally with the Capitals. And I almost feel like worst case scenario is you get contributions now and they just aren't able to do it full time, but you're getting what you need at the moment. I don't know if this is a thing, but like the middle case solution or whatever that is you've got these guys who are now putting game tape together that you can then trade for other prospects, picks, or NHL ready players at the deadline or in the offseason, someone that maybe, you know, is a little bit older that can contribute in the more immediate term. Or best case scenario, you've got an NHL player on your hands that is going to be cheaper in the long run that you can bring into your lineup.
Yeah, I that is, you know, we'll see how this works out long term for this team. But they're getting it done. It's a little foggy to figure out who's wearing what number and who's actually in the lineup. That's why you got to stay close to Twitter to read some of these reporters to figure out what's going on, because you really don't know. I think we do have a lot of talent in the lineup. I think the AHL Hershey Bears team is a good one, and I think they're just feeling it out and seeing who can come up next and who's got the talent to stay and who could be the next big thing. I mean, you're not going to replace an Alex Ovechkin, but it's good to have those guys that that can step in and get things done, and right now they're doing it. So, I mean, it's not really something that we can complain about. Yes, there's definitely some things they got to work on. The power play unit is non-existent. So that's definitely something that that worries me going forward. I don't want to see, you know, these games. The Capitals love overtime. Capitals absolutely love going to overtime.
And they go to overtime. They don't like winning in it.
Right. But we're getting at least 1 point out of game, and I guess one's better than nothing. But as we keep banking these points, you're only going to go so far into the postseason, if you even get to the postseason, with these garbage points, because it's kind of like, yes, you're earning them, but you're not winning. And that's, you don't get a point in the playoffs.
You should, though. Everybody gets a trophy.
Gets a trophy.
They need to, they need to start contributing, producing in the overtime. You know, some of these games you're getting into overtime because you score a last minute goal, and you know you get 1 point out of a game you probably deserve none. That sucks, but isn't the worst thing. But it's when they blow a lead and they then lose in overtime, that kind of hurts because you really should have been able to finish that game out. And I feel like when you have young players and when you have players that are constantly changing what line they're on, you know, you don't have that chemistry, you don't have that consistency in your lineup, which I think only hurts them in those situations because they're not playing as well together. But then again, you're having your veteran guys that are going out there in overtime. Like, why are you not getting wins at that point? It's not the goaltending. The goaltending, for the most part, has been really good
over
the last few weeks. So that's definitely not the case. It's not the goaltending that's the issue. It's the players that's the issue. And it's something they definitely need to work on.
So anything else we should cover here in Caps World?
We talk about Tom Wilson. He's skating. You know, he's on IR, but he's skating, and it sounds like he can come back any day now. So I think it's just a matter of getting him back up to speed, and then he'll probably be back in the lineup.
Yeah.
In regards to, like, other things that are going, I mean, I think Wilson's going to come back. But it looks like DC's going to be, I think it's DC's reinstating the mask mandate, which means Monumental Sports and Entertainment announced that starting today, Capital One Arena will reinstate their mask mandate. And, you know, it's the right move, I think, at this point. But face masks that cover both the nose and mouth, not that we all don't know that by now, they're required to be worn once you exit your car, metro, whatever the case may be. Once you get in the arena, you have to have a mask on, except if you're actively eating or drinking at your seat location. So wear a mask, you know, and if you're eating or drinking, like, you do it quickly. You take the mask off, you get a bite of your hot dog, you put the mask back on. Ideally, wipe your mouth in between so you don't get, like, ketchup mustard stuff on your mask like my son does when he's eating at lunch and then he doesn't wipe his face and he puts his mask on. You're like, now there's stuff on the inside. And then he complains, it's wet. And I'm like, well, it's because you weren't paying attention. But you're two. So your attention spans about 0.3 seconds. So it is what it is. But, you know, it's the safest thing for everybody right now while we kind of work our way through this Omicron thing. But, you know, if you're going to the game, be safe, be smart. Put a mask on. And if you want to help with the team, put a Caps mask on. It'll make it look nice. If I'm a hockey team right now, I am producing many masks, and I'm also having mask giveaways at games.
They did that when they first came back. No one
can complain. I didn't have a mask. Yeah, you do. We got a Caps mask for you right here.
A lot of stores will give out, like, the paper masks, that the blue ones, like the medical, the surgical.
Yeah. I have some of those at work.
Yeah, a lot of stores just have them as you walk in. Oh, you don't have a mask here, put this one on. But I think they did a face mask giveaway the first game that they came back in April or whatever. But the mandate's back on. Let's see what happens. I mean, if the numbers keep going up, up, and up, we might see the pods come make a return. So the seating will kind of be spread out a little bit.
Yeah, I was curious how that would work in terms of, like, season ticket holders.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, it's going to be interesting, but we'll see how that happens. I have no plans to go to a game anytime soon. Just not in the cards for me, especially not with my little one still being unable to get vaccinated. I'm excited to take him to a game one day, but even if, like, the pandemic wasn't a thing, I still don't think I'd take him to a game. Because, again, we go back to that 0.3 second attention span. I'm not spending $70 for a seat up in the nosebleeds for him to watch the game for 2 seconds and then go, I want to go play with this. You know, and I'm like, that's a wall. Don't play with it.
Taking my godson to see the Ravens when he was 3 was interesting because after the national anthem, he was like, well, that was fun. Let's get out of here.
We did it, guys. Let's go. I'm like, for football, there's still 3.5 hours to play.
Yeah, we made it to halftime. Like
two and a half.
We made it to halftime. So proud of him for that. But, like, he was really into, like, the video board around the stadium had fire for like Grill Mates seasoning, an ad. He was real into that fire. Could care less about what was going on in the field. I kept pointing, being like, see, those are people on the field. And he's like, I don't care. I get it there. But
I really want to take my son to a game. He likes hockey. I think I've talked on the show before that when he goes to bed, I lay with him and then we'll watch a little bit of whatever game is on ESPN Plus or Hulu or whatever. But I want to take him to a Bears game because it's not very expensive. So if we have to leave early or he gets distracted or we end up walking around the Giant Center, which is a great arena. You know, you're not like, didn't realize my phone was on the noise. It's not. It's on silent. Why is it making sound? Weird. Moving on. It doesn't cost that much. So it's okay. And, you know, he won't see them win because I'm bad luck in Hershey. I'm, as we talked about many times, 0-5 lifetime going to a Bears game. But it'd be fun to take him to a game. Yeah. And he likes animals, well, so it'd be like Bears.
All right. Since we're talking Bears, should we head down on the farm?
You know what? We might as well.
All right. Well, hey, let's do it. We're gonna finish up Caps World. Now we're gonna go down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, as we usually do, let's start in Hershey, where the Bears went 2-1 since we last talked, with wins over Springfield and Wilkes-Barre Scranton before they ended up falling to Rochester on Sunday. They're currently fourth in the Atlantic Division with 27 points, six back of first-place Springfield. I was looking at the standings earlier. It's like the Bears have played, I don't know, 21 games, whatever the case is. But then a team that's like two up on them, I think it's second place in the standings. I don't remember who it is. They've played like 27 games. And it's just, we're going to have that throughout the season with games getting canceled, that teams have played so many different. Like the standings at one point aren't going to matter because right. There's going to be such a dramatic difference in terms of how many games everybody's played. But anyways, the Bears will be back at it with a home and home against Lehigh Valley starting at their arena on Tuesday before hosting them at the Giants Center on Wednesday. And then they don't play again until the following Monday due to the Christmas break. They'll play on Monday in Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Let's head down to South Carolina where the Stingrays went 0-3 with losses to Toledo and 2 to Jacksonville. They are currently on a 6-game losing streak. Not good, which puts them last in the South Division with 20 points, 12 back of first place Jacksonville.
Is this your fault? Is it because you went to South Carolina Stingray games?
Stop it. I have never been to a Stingray game. I think it'd be cool, but I'm not driving like 8 hours down to South Carolina. I've been to South Carolina once in my life. And it was not for a Stingrays game. But yeah, they'll try and stop the skid this upcoming Sunday at the North Charleston Coliseum against Jacksonville. That's what's going on down on the farm.
Well, hopefully Stingrays, you can turn things around. Hopefully we can get some wins there. Bears, just don't let Dan come into your stadium or your arena and we'll be fine.
Hey, I'm not going to right now, but seriously, I'd like to go to a game and see them win.
I remember I went once on Super Bowl Sunday and the Bears were winning so much. I can't remember what team it was against, but they were beating up the other team so much that when their goalie stopped a puck, the Hershey Bear fans applauded the other goalie.
That's mean. Funny.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Bears fans, they're a little savage. Funny, but savage.
Yeah, that's be nice, guys. Come on.
But hey, that's it for what's going on up in Hershey or down in South Carolina. Now let's go around the NHL and beyond. All right, everybody, here we go. We're talking about what's going around the NHL and beyond. Unfortunately, what's going on is a lot of cancellations. We're going to talk all about it. Coach Dan, catch us up. What's going on around the NHL and beyond?
Well, let's start with a tweet from Frank Saravalli, as he actually tweeted out just a little bit ago that the NHL COVID-19, the stats as of December 20th, that being today at 1 p.m., you have 119 players have reported in active protocol, 16.1% of rosters. 23 teams have at least one player in the protocol. 5 head coaches are currently in COVID protocols. You've got 42 games have been postponed, 37 of those in the last 7 games. 9 teams have facilities closed, and 19 teams have no games scheduled until December 27th. You know, there's a lot of talk, and this happens in European football. There's a lot of talk about how the Premier League should have like a week or 2 weeks off at Christmas. I believe they do this in Germany. They have time off. No one's playing for like a week or two. And I always kind of thought, would that make sense in the NHL to have just like a break around the holidays where you go, you know, for a week, week and a half, 2 weeks between Christmas and New Year's? It would give teams an opportunity for everybody to rest, recuperate, get healthy. And I kind of wonder if teams that have been missing these games. Yeah, they're going to have more games to finish the season on time. They're going to have more games closer together. But I wonder if giving players an opportunity to get healthy is actually going to be a benefit to them in the long run.
I mean, we'll see. But I mean, the reason why they don't really cancel that much around the holidays is because tickets make great stocking stuffers.
Yeah, but you could do tickets for later in the season.
You could, but people like to spend money at Christmas.
That is true. Speaking of COVID, games between the U.S.-based teams and Canadian-based teams have been postponed until after the winter break. And that decision was obviously made due to concerns about cross-border travel and the fluid nature of federal travel restrictions. That is from NHL.com.
You and I were going back and forth on Twitter the other day about this. I mean, the NHL, they seem to be trying to figure things out. They're trying to get things going and be as safe as possible, but I don't know how you don't pause the season. I mean, if it is running this rampant, there is only so much rescheduling you can do. These buildings that these guys play in, they have other events going on. They have the NBA season. Some, you know, there's the circus or Monster Jam, or there's other events. There's concerts. You're only going to be able to move things around so much. I hope I'm wrong, because I was wrong about them doing even a season last spring. I thought they were going to just wait until this October to restart things. But, man, I don't know how they're going to do it. Hats off to them if they get it done. I really hope they do. But this is going to be hard to not pause the season and start later on.
I mean, yeah, it's going to end up with teams that have their games postponed. They're going to end up with a really tricky schedule at the end, because you're going to have all of your games happening at very close. I mean, a lot more back-to-backs.
Yeah.
It's going to get real tricky real quick. But that is unfortunately where we're at. In sort of head coach news, Winnipeg head coach Paul Maurice resigned abruptly on Friday, the day they were playing the Capitals.
Yeah.
That one came out of nowhere. I'm sure he came out and said something, but I did not see that.
So, yeah,
prior to our recording.
I'll tell you a little bit about this. It's very interesting of what happened, and you have to wonder if you're going to see more of this pop up. But he just said he lost the passion for the game, and the pandemic really did a number on him mentally, and he just wasn't – he, like, lost the love for the game. So it's very sad to read that, but we're seeing that. I don't know if you're seeing it in your industry, but in my industry, there's a lot of that going on where people are just like, I don't want to do it anymore. So the pandemic, I mean, yes, people are getting sick and it's terrible and everything else, but COVID is affecting just the world in so many different ways. And people are just like, you know what? It's just, I don't like this career anymore. I don't want to do it anymore. It's too stressful. It's too hard dealing with the protocols and the travel and the restrictions and everything like that. So I think we're going to be seeing this a lot more in the future.
I mean, there's definitely, I've seen, you know, I work in the education industry. I'm not a teacher per se, but, you know, I've heard a lot around the country of teachers that are just like, I'm not doing it anymore. It's a lot for everyone in their industries right now. And, you know, a lot of people have been able to go virtual. Some have not. I mean, I've been in person working since June of 2020. You know, and so I think we might see more of this. I don't think we'll necessarily see it abruptly like that, but I think we might see more of this as we go forward, especially with, I don't know how old Maurice is, but I think some of the older, potentially more vulnerable members in the workforce might be more likely to retire or just not work for a little while until they feel like it's safer.
Yeah.
Let's go on some other news and some suspension news, as former Capital and current Chicago forward Brett Connolly was suspended for 4 games for interference against Dallas forward Tanner Kiro. I believe this is the hit that actually put that kid in the hospital. Now, this play was a bit odd. It looks like Kiro could have played the puck, although it's being sent out of the Dallas zone. And it's up along the glass, but Connolly's already lining up the hit. So getting out of it would have been, to me, it feels like somewhat difficult, especially watching it at full speed. It does appear to be shoulder to face, which is frowned upon unless you play for the Penguins. So Connolly gets to sit out for 4 games.
Yeah. If he was a Penguin, though, doesn't miss
a he would have gotten a medal.
Yeah. Yeah. For gets the Stanley Cup already. Hit. Another one.
It's ridiculous. In Olympics news, the U.S. Olympic women's ice hockey team is set to be announced on January 1st at the NHL Winter Classic in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's just too bad they don't have any good jerseys for the Winter Classic.
Yeah, we'll see that January 1st, but the women's hockey team getting announced, I think, during the second intermission of the Winter Classic on New Year's Day. So that'll be fun to see the roster again. That'll be cool.
The My Wide Tour continued over the weekend with Canada winning both matchups in overtime against the U.S. on the 15th and the 17th. Canada now leads the tour with a commanding 4-2 record. The final U.S. date was scheduled for today, that being Monday the 20th in St. Paul, but that has been canceled due to concerns over the Omicron variant. The final two matchups between Canada and the U.S. will now be on January 3rd and January 6th in Canada.
As of right now, because...
Yeah, who knows what's to come?
Who knows? Everything seems to be changing by the hour.
Now, sticking with the fun that is COVID, due to the pandemic, the World Junior Championship pre-tournament play has been delayed. Originally, the pre-tournament was scheduled to begin on the 19th with each team playing two games. And as we are recording, that has changed to each team playing one game starting on the 23rd. The actual tournament starts on December 26th that's not really a great Christmas for those players.
I don't know. If you're a hockey player really that's trying to make it, that's like...
I know, but like... It seems kind of harsh to be like, all right, Merry Christmas, get ready to play tomorrow.
Well, like last year, the tournament started on Christmas.
That's just a D word.
And you got to think about it. Next year is in Russia. So a lot of these players,
yeah,
I mean,
gonna be there.
A lot of these players are really far away from home. I guess if you are from Russia and you're playing in Canada, that is quite the time to be away from your family at Christmas in a foreign country.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, but it's still, I don't know, it just seems kind of harsh. But anyways, that tournament starts on December 26th. The U.S. is going to be playing Slovakia. It's one of four games scheduled for the first day of the 2022 IIHF World Junior Championship. Speaking of the World Junior Championship, following a five-year absence, Belarus will be back competing among the top 10 nations at the 2023 World Junior Championship in Novosibirsk and Omsk, Russia. So five straight victories, including a final day rally against Norway, saw Belarus win promotion from the 2022 IIHF Ice Hockey U20 World Championship Division 1 Group A. That is way too long a title, guys.
Correct.
Shorten that down. What are you doing? Anyway, they got 15 points out of a possible 15. Well done to them. We'll see them in 2023. That's the news from the NHL and beyond.
Yeah, so, Coach, you were trying to explain this to me pre-show. So, Belarus missed the World Juniors this year, or missed the last 5 years, because it's been a five-year absence for them. So, if you don't make it into the World Junior Tournament, they have another, like, second-tier tournament. And if you win that, then the year after that, you're in the World Juniors Tournament. Is that the way you explained it to me?
No. Yeah, so the way I was explaining it, I mean, I don't know if that's the reality. I think that's what it seems to be. What I was trying to compare it to, it's like, if you won the, I was doing it for you, if you won the NIT, the basketball tournament, the college basketball tournament, then you automatically, and this is not the case, I don't think, you automatically are given a spot in next year's NCAA tournament. Or, for those of us who follow European football, if you win the Europa League, you're automatically guaranteed a spot in the Champions League the following season. I don't know if that's how that works, but it sounds like that's how this works for the World Juniors in terms of if you win this 14 title tournament, 14 word title tournament, you get a guaranteed spot in the next year's World Juniors, I guess. I have no idea.
Okay. It's very confusing, but congrats Belarus for, we'll see you next year. So good for them. So Coach Stan, is that the show?
Actually, one little bit of news I'm just seeing right now. It's being tweeted out by Craig Morgan, who covers the Coyotes and looks like Arizona State University for Phoenix Sports of the... I have no idea. It's too many words, buddy. Glendale. So we talked before about how... Did we talk about this before? How the Coyotes look like they're going to get locked out of their own building?
But, oh, yeah. Yeah, I heard about that.
So I don't know if we talked about this on the show. But it looks like it was a misunderstanding, or the Coyotes said, oh, no, it was a clerical error by someone in our front office. I was like, mm-hmm, sure it was. Anyways, Glendale City Manager confirmed that the Coyotes, this is from Craig Morgan, at Craig S. Morgan on Twitter. He confirms the Coyotes fulfilled a payment of about $930,000 by the deadline, also agreed to future scheduled payments for the rest of the season. So it sounds like the hot hole mess is going to get squared away. And at least that won't be the reason the Coyotes leave Arizona. It'll be the fact that they shouldn't be there to begin with.
Yeah.
So they're not getting locked out. But yeah, I think that's the show.
All right. Well, hey, it is Christmas week. We got lots of stuff going on. Let's wrap this baby up. If you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related things, as well as talking about Arsenal Football Club. Big, nice win last week. Getting ready for the next one. Talking about the Bills, Washington football team, and how I'm not sure how they're going to have anybody that can play in their game on Tuesday. You also find me on there talking about other sports as well. That's on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you've enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook. Sorry, on Meta at facebook.com/whatthepokepod. It's where we post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of other things related to the Washington Capitals, Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, the Hershey Cubs from time to time, as well as other things related to the National Hockey League and things that come into Brandon's head that he thinks are funny. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, I was just talking about the Bills and the Washington football team. Did we talk about this last week about what the potential team name was going to be?
Yes, we did.
Okay, yeah, it's still stupid every time I think about it. Anyways, if they happen to like a certain purple-clad team based out of Baltimore and there's a podcast they want to listen to, is there one they should be checking out?
You can check out my Baltimore Ravens podcast called The Call. It's where me and my buddy Josh talk all things Baltimore Ravens. We can talk about that 2-point conversion and whether or not they should have gone for it or not again, and how the Ravens are out of the playoff picture now, and how I don't think they're going to win another game. But we'll talk about that with Josh.
It's not at all pessimistic, folks.
Yeah. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Oh, there are some things I got to talk about real quick, getting me out of my rhythm. You can now rate us on Spotify.
Ooh.
I don't use Spotify personally, so I am not positive how it works, but I know over on Apple Podcasts, you can do like reviews and give us stars or whatever. So I think that is now a thing over on the Spotifys. And yeah, we will take 5 stars whenever you're willing to give them out.
Give it to your Uber driver and us.
Yes, please, please. And if you do listen to us over on Facebook, now that Coach Dan was able to figure out the file naming problems, you can subscribe to the podcast on Facebook. So whenever a new show comes out, Facebook will literally notify you when a new one's out. You won't just have to wait for us to post it. Facebook will be like, hey, new show's out. Check it out. So hit that subscribe button over on Facebook. Now we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts. We already talked about all that. So leave us a Spotify review or a rating. Subscribe on Facebook. Leave us an Apple Podcast review. And then go on the social medias and let everybody know that you're a Washington Capitals fan and that they should listen to What the Puck as much as possible. So tell people on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok. All those unnecessary social medias. Tell people that you're a Caps fan, they should be a Caps fan, and that they should listen to What the Puck. But we will definitely be here next week to talk all things Caps hockey. So, Coach Dan, everybody out there, Merry Christmas. I hope everyone has a great
Merry Christmas, buddy, out
there. Thank you very much. Coach Dan got me an awesome Caps glass that has a grip on it, so I'm not going to drop my beer whilst drinking my beer. So that's,
I was curious
that's a good
about
thing.
That grip.
Yeah.
I was like, how little faith does Fanatics have in people? Being able to drink a beer, they're like, we need to add some silicone to these things.
We need to add some grip here, because if they're drinking, I mean, this is the reason why I drink, the way the Caps play sometimes. So,
well played, sir. Well played. You know what? I also have to say thank you for the stuff you sent to me. I thought that was very cool. I had to figure out where to put this big man cave thing, because, oh, you know what? I may have just found a spot. But I got to find a cool spot for that, as well as, I was telling you about the hat that we happened to have purchased the exact same hat like a short time before that. I thought that was pretty funny when I opened the package, but Merry Christmas, happy holidays to everybody out there.
Yes. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. I need a picture of you and the kid in matching hats. I think that's a Facebook profile picture is what that is.
It is. If I can get him to wear it, because he's currently obsessed with his orange some sort of animal hat that he wears.
He's not a fan of hats. I thought you were going to say he just goes,
No, loves hats.
He's too cool. He's too cool for school. All right. All right.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.